Let's pray right now. Father, we do come before you with hearts full of thanksgiving for all that you've done for us, for giving your Son to be our Savior. There's no way we could ever thank you enough for that. Father, there's no way that we could ever give you enough praise for saving our souls. But we're so thankful that you did. We thank you, Father, for the life that you've given us. We thank you for the assurance that we have through Jesus Christ that we're not only saved here, but we have eternal life now and in heaven. And Father, we know that your love really supersedes our comprehension. But Father, it can never be exhausted, and we thank you for that. I ask that you'd be with me today with the message that you've laid upon my heart, that you would give us the words that we need to hear, and Father, help us to have sensitive ears to hear your word, and that not only will we hear it, but we will apply it to our lives, that we might reach more of those that you put in our influence, that we can win them to Jesus Christ, and that they too can go to heaven with us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we get into the message this morning, I do want to tell Diana happy anniversary. For those of you that don't know, we've been married 29 years. It's been long and wonderful. Wonderful for me and long for her. But God has definitely blessed us, and I appreciate her putting up with me for 29, and I'm looking forward to the next 29. And just praise God for such a great, great spouse and co-worker and help me in the ministry. Or turn with me this morning to John chapter 8. If you'll remember, last week I preached on grace, and we talked about it means undeserved kindness, undeserved favor. At one point in that message last week, I mentioned the story of Jesus and the lady that was caught in adultery, and since then God has really dealt with me more about that, so we're going to be looking at that in a whole lot more detail today, because folks, God gave us undeserved kindness, undeserved favor. He bestowed his grace upon us. And if you'll remember, I said last week, because he has done that, we have a duty and a responsibility to bestow that same grace upon the folks around us. And so we're going to be looking at how to do that. Because I shared with you last week, that is a challenge for me. And I think it's a challenge for most of us, because most of us have just enough flesh in us that we want people to get their just reward. And I told you I do. If I get in the flesh, I want everybody to get what's deserving to them. Well, that's not right. And that's why I said I really have to fight that and stay over in the Spirit and let God lead me and guide me. And we're going to look at some things today that has already helped me, and I trust it will help you. But I want us to look at this story today. This story we're going to start in John chapter 8. I'm going to read just verse 2, but the story is actually verse 1 through verse 11, and we're going to be giving you a summary of that, but we're going to start with just verse 2 this morning. It says, "Now early in the morning, Jesus came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them." Now I want us to get a visual picture of what's going on here. The Feast of Tabernacles had just ended here in Jerusalem, so there's still a massive crowd of people in the city. And if you notice, it said all the people came. And I don't think that literally means that all the people in the city, but I think it means that the place was packed to the brim. They said that Jesus was teaching. And as you go down through this story, all of a sudden, Jesus is interrupted. Who would have the audacity to interrupt Jesus? But this crowd of men did. They were at the very back. You could hear the ruckus starting all the way at the back of the temple, and they were pushing and shoving and weren't being polite about it either, to get up to Jesus. And when they get up there, they've got this woman with them, and they sling her down in front of Jesus. And they look at him. They've just interrupted him. And they sling this woman down. She's embarrassed. Her clothes are in disarray. Her hair's in disarray. She's scared. She's angry. She's mad. And these men present Jesus with their case. In verses 4 and 5, they said unto him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commands that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" What a situation to be in. These guys, these men, were trying to catch Jesus so they would have something against him that they could accuse him of. Folks, if you've ever been a Christian very long, somebody's tried to corner you and get you to where they could accuse you as well. So there's a lot of things that we can learn from this. But if you look at this, Jesus was in a sticky situation because here this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And Moses did say that in the law that such should be stoned. So how is Jesus going to handle this situation? I want you to kind of put yourself in Jesus' shoes this morning and ask yourself, how would I handle this situation? It would call for a lot of wisdom, wouldn't it? It would call for an awful lot of wisdom. And in our society today, sexual permissiveness is on the rampage. And we as Christians are faced with the challenge of how to deal with those that are accused of sexual sins. And really this message deals with every type of sin. But since our passage is dealing with sexual sins, we're going to be dealing with that this morning. It feels like we are given the choice of either being too hard on the sinner or too soft on the sin. It's really a sticky situation. It's really a very difficult situation to be in. So how do we handle a situation like that? And how do we respond to those that have sinned? And it's very important how we handle it. I think I shared this last week, but folks, if we don't deal with it correctly, if we don't handle that situation correctly, then the people that we're trying to reach, the lost, will never listen to the message that we have. If we don't respond to them with grace, if we don't respond to them with undeserved kindness and favor. As you go down through the story, you're going to find out that when Jesus got to the end of this situation, that he had this lady's attention just because of the way he had treated her with respect. We as a church have treated the sinners so badly for so long and kind of treated them as second-class citizens that we may have to literally prove our genuineness to the lost person. We may have to prove our love to them and our respect to them and that we do have a heart of grace, but I promise you, once you prove it to them, they will listen to you. If all we ever do is treat them like the scum of the earth, they won't listen to us because they have no reason to listen to us. We're not sharing with them the love of God. And we as Christians in general have had kind of a prideful attitude. We can look at the people that are living in sin and we kind of look down upon them because that makes us feel good about who we are. Folks, we've got to be very careful about that. That's called pride. And but for the grace of God, that could very well be you or me. I've shared with you before that my mom and dad were living in sin, open sin, until they were at the age of, well, dad was 21, mom was around 18 or 19. But if they had not had somebody that gained their respect and got them to be saved, my life would be completely, totally different than it is today. I know that I could be living in sin, not knowing about God and God's Word and God's will and God's grace. And I could be very well on my way to hell. So the way we treat the sinner is very important. We need to treat them with the utmost respect because that's how Jesus treats them and that's how Jesus has treated us. These men that brought this woman to Jesus, they did not have her best interest at heart. They did not treat her with any respect whatsoever. But Jesus did. And if you look at this situation, Jesus could have taken the path of rigid holiness. And sometimes we as Christians want to do that. They're sinners. They deserve what they get. Well, in this case, it would cause this woman to have been stoned to death. Jesus could have also taken the path of indulgent love and just said, oh, it's okay. I love her so much it doesn't matter. Well, that would have been disastrous as well. But instead, Jesus chose the path of grace. And you've got to study this whole story. But if you look at it, he not only saved this woman's life, but he gave her an opportunity to receive salvation. Because at the very end, he told her, go and sin no more. And it was the way that he treated her with love and respect and grace that opened up that door. I've got a friend that says the love walk is never wrong. The love walk is never wrong. Now, in this story, Jesus did not deny the guilt of this woman. He did not deny that she had sinned whatsoever. Like I said, he told her, do not go and sin anymore. But we, as we look at this, we see very clearly that he was much more concerned about the woman than he was her sin. I believe that's where we're missing it right now. We care about the issues so much. And one of the big issues in our day and time is homosexuality. We care about that so much, and we're so strong against it, that we have a hard time separating the issue from the people. And we've got to learn to do that. We have to learn how to hate the sin and love the sinner. And Jesus gives us a great example here of how to do that. He hated the sin. Folks, he abhorred sin so desperately that he gave his life for it. He died to get rid of sin and to get rid of the curse of sin. But at the same time, he loved this woman so desperately that he wanted what was best for her. He could hate the sin and love the sinner at the same time, and he wants us to do the very same thing. The way he treated her made her receptive to what he said at the end. And I believe, the Bible doesn't tell us, but I believe when she went away, she went and found herself a quiet place and sat down and really thought about just what had happened to her. There's a gentleman in the Free Will Baptist. His name is Tim York. He happens to be our national moderator right now. Tim, when he lived in Kentucky, pastored a church. There was a convenience store across the street from the church. He went to that convenience store frequently. And as Tim tells the story, there was a gentleman that worked in that convenience store that was a homosexual. Well, you're not going to find anybody that's stronger against homosexuality than Tim York is. He is an advocate against homosexuality. He's been on committees and different agencies trying to get rid of homosexuality in their city and to make rules and regulations and to really stand strong against it. But Tim treated that clerk in such a way with respect and dignity and grace that from time to time he had the opportunity to share with that young man about Jesus Christ. Tim said, I never condemned him. I never put him down. I never made him feel bad about being a human being. But I did stand against the homosexuality. And like I said, you're going to have to look long and hard before you find anybody that is against it any more than Tim is. But again, he understood that this young man had a soul, that if he didn't handle this situation right, he would destroy this young man and destroy every opportunity that he had to reach that young man for Christ. Well, some of the people in that area that were pro-homosexual found out that Tim went to this convenience store, and they thought they could go there to this clerk and get some dirt on Tim that they could use against him in the proceedings that they had going on in the local area. Interestingly enough, they pressed this young man long and hard and never got him to say anything bad about Brother Tim. All because Brother Tim had treated this young man with respect and dignity and shared grace with him. Now, whether this young man ever gets saved or not, I don't know. But I do know that he knows at least one Christian who showered upon him God's grace and God's love. And I do know that if Brother Tim ever had an opportunity to really sit down with that young man and talk to him, he would have that young man's ear because of the way he treated him. Folks, we have to treat the sinner with respect. That's the same way God treated us. That's the same way that He wants us to treat others. That's the only way that we will ever reach them. You cannot stand there and look somebody in the face and tell them how disgusting they are and that they're the scum of the earth and that they're no good for nothing and ever expect them to listen to the message of Jesus Christ. Yes, you do have to let them know what they're doing is wrong. But again, we have to separate the sin from the sinner. And as a church, and I'm not talking about Center Point, I'm talking about the church as a whole, but as a church, we're not real good at that. Going back to our story, Jesus told those men, He said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Now, just stop and think about that. When this dawned on me this week, it was an overwhelming thought. There was no one in that crowd that was qualified to throw the first stone because Jesus said, "He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone." All of them were sinners. Jesus was the only one qualified to cast the first stone, but he refused to. Sometimes we're so anxious to cast the first stone that we forget to look at ourselves. And we forget to look that God's grace has been bestowed upon us. And that even though we may not have done anything disgusting like we like to classify some sins, before God bestowed His grace upon us, we were just as sinful and just as much on our way to hell as anybody else has ever been. We need to learn to condemn the sin and love the sinner. We need to remember that Jesus specializes in taking ruined, broken, wasted, devastated lives, saving those people, and restoring them to godliness, holiness, and usefulness. A few weeks ago, we studied about the man that was possessed of the demons and that was in the tombs. And when they found him, he was so wicked and vile and evil and that the demons were so rank in him that even chains and fetters could not hold him. But when Jesus touched him, he was clothed and seated there in his right mind, a completely, totally changed person. Folks, we need to look at people at how they can be instead of how they are. There's a song that was written a few years ago, and I like the title of the words of this song. The title is "In Heaven's Eyes." And the words say this: "In heaven's eyes, there are no losers. In heaven's eyes, there are no hopeless causes. There are only people like you with feelings like me, amazed by the grace that we find in heaven's eyes." Amazed by the grace. And if you'll remember last week, I had for the invitation, I had them sing "Amazing Grace." Folks, it is amazing. Not a one of us deserved God's grace in any shape, form, or fashion, but He bestowed that grace upon us. Just like we can see God's amazing grace through in heaven's eyes, people in the world need to be able to see God's grace in us. We all know the story of the Good Samaritan, how the religious people walked by and were too good or too busy to take care of the man that had been half beaten to death. And by the way, that's what sin does to people. It half beats them to death. And they're laying on the side of the road bleeding. They may not be physically, but emotionally and spiritually. They're laying there bleeding. They're crying out for help. And sometimes the church is just too good to stop and look upon them and take care of them. But this man's enemy stopped and had grace upon that man and took care of that man. I promise you, out of all the people that passed him that day, the Good Samaritan had that man's respect more than anybody else that went down that road. Folks, we need to live in such a way that people, that we gain people's respect by the way we treat them. As I was studying for this lesson, God gave me two goals. The first goal is to be less tolerant of sin in my own life. You know, I heard somebody say the other day, and I've heard this before, but it's so true. We have a tendency to judge others by their actions and to judge ourselves by our good intentions. You know, if we've got a bad habit, well, I'm really working at trying that at quitting that bad habit. Well, the Bible doesn't say try to quit. It says quit. It says if you steal, steal no more. It says if you lie, quit lying. And that goes for all of the sins. So we need to be less tolerant of the sin in our lives. And we need to be more tolerant of the imperfections in others. I didn't say be tolerant of their sin, but more tolerant of their imperfections. Just like this lady, up to this point, she may not have ever known what she was doing was wrong. But after she met Jesus, she knew. And she knew what it was like to be loved and respected and to have undeserved kindness. So here's what I'm going to do. And I invite you to do the same. I'm going to drop the rocks in my life. You know, we stand so many times ready to stone the sinners. When I say stone them, put them down. Cast rocks on them. Make ourselves feel better by saying they're getting what they're deserving. I'm going to drop the rocks. I'm going to strive to be a man full of grace and love and respect for those that don't deserve it. Like I said earlier, we need to hate sin and love the sinners. And folks, that's really a simple two-step process. To hate sin, all we have to do is abhor sin, to detest sin, to hate it with a passion. Whether it's in our lives or whether it's in the life of somebody else, we need to hate sin beyond anything. Because Jesus died for sin. He hated it so bad that he was willing to die for it, to get rid of it. And to love the sinner, we just need to shower them with grace. They may not deserve forgiveness. They may not deserve the love. They may not deserve the respect at the time. But neither did we. We need to shower them with God's grace and with God's love and let them know that we truly do love them. So we need to drop the rocks, and we need to pick up the grace. If you want to throw something at them, throw grace at them. That'll confuse them. They're not used to that from the church. I want to close with this story. I shared this last week, but this was so vivid in my mind. There was a prostitute up in Chicago, down and out, and she hated herself. She could not stand herself, she could not stand the lifestyle she was living. She absolutely hated everything about her life. And somebody asked her, well, have you ever thought about going to church? And her response was, why would I do that? I already feel bad enough about myself. What she was saying is, I know when I go there, they're going to treat me even worse because of who I am. Folks, that's not what the church is supposed to do. We're supposed to let the love of Jesus Christ shine through us and flow through us. And I pray that even though we do a decent job, that we will become better at loving every single person in this church, out of this church, whoever they are, that we will love them with the same love that Jesus has shed into our hearts and shed upon us. We didn't deserve it. No more than this woman caught in adultery deserved it. We didn't deserve it. God, Jesus, showered her with grace. He showered us with grace, and all He's asking us to do is to just let it flow through us to the community. And Master's men this morning, Larry really taught hard on the fact that we don't see more people saved because we don't have a burden. And I'll agree with that. But I think it goes one step further as well. We don't have the burden because we kind of feel like we're better than them. We're so grateful for what God's done for us that we just kind of forget about them. Folks, if we really understand grace, we can't help but go and tell the lost about it. It'll make us want to be witnesses for Him. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning, and I thank You so much for the grace that You have showered upon me. And God, as I think back about how You saved my mom and dad, my heart's just overwhelmed with gratitude. They were living out in sin, yet somebody treated them with grace and with love and with respect and got their attention. And through that, Father, You were able to minister to them and to get them saved. And because of that, my dad is already in heaven. My mom's gone. My whole family, Father, are now Christians. But somebody had to care enough to treat them the way they needed to be treated. And Father, I pray that You would just really move upon our hearts today, that we would have a desire to shed Your grace upon the people around us that do not deserve it. God, help us to let Your love just flow through our hearts to their hearts, that we might be able to reach them for Jesus Christ. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.